full moment.
Oh, grow up, he said. There are moments in life that you wish with all your heart you could take back, like just erase from existence. Like if you could, you'd erase yourself right out of existence too, just to make that moment not exist. What I said next was one of those moments for me. On the day of his mother's funeral, to the boy I loved more than I had ever loved anything or anyone, I said, "Go to hell." It was the worst thing I've ever said to anyone, ever. It wasn't that I'd never said the words before, but the look on his face, I'll never forget it. The look on his face made me want to die. It confirmed every mean and low thing I'd ever thought about myself. The stuff you hope and pray no one will ever know about you, because if they knew, they would see the real you, and they would despise you. Conrad said, "I should have known you'd be like this." Miserably, I asked him, "What do you mean?" He shrugged, his jaw tight. "Forget it." "No, say it." He started to turn around, to leave, but I stopped him. I stood in his way. "Tell me," I said, my voice rising. He looked at me and said, "I knew it was a bad idea, starting something with you. You're just a kid. It was a huge mistake." "I don't believe you," I said. People were starting to look. My mother was standing in the living room, talking to people I didn't recognize. She'd glanced up when I'd started speaking. I couldn't even look at her. I could feel my face burning. I knew the right thing to do was to walk away. I knew that was what I was supposed to do. In that moment, it was like I was floating above myself, and I could see me and how everybody in that room was looking at me. But when Conrad just shrugged and started to leave again, I felt so mad and so small. I wanted to stop myself, but I couldn't quit. "I hate you," I said. Conrad turned around and nodded, like he'd expected me to say exactly that. "Good," he said. The way he looked at me then, pitying and fed up and just over it, it made me feel sick. "I never want to see you again," I said, and then I pushed past him and I ran up the staircase so fast I tripped on the top step. I fell right onto my knees, hard. I think I heard someone gasp. I could barely see through my tears. Blindly, I got back up and ran to the guest room. I took off my glasses and lay down on the bed and cried. It wasn't Conrad I hated. It was myself. My father came up after a while. He knocked a few times, and when I didn't answer, he came in and sat on the edge of the bed.
"Are you all right?"
he asked me. His voice was so gentle, I could feel tears leaking out of the corners of my eyes again. No one should be nice to me. I didn't deserve it. I rolled away so my back was to him. "Is Mom mad at me?"
"No, of course not," he said. "Come back downstairs and say goodbye to everyone."
"I can't." How could I go back downstairs and face everyone after I'd made that scene? It was impossible. I was humiliated, and I had done it to myself.
"What happened with you and Conrad, Billy? Did you have a fight? Did you two break up?"
It was so odd to hear the words "break up" come out of my dad's mouth. I couldn't discuss it with him. It was just too bizarre. "Dad, I can't talk about this stuff with you. Could you just go? I want to be alone."
"All right,"
he said, and I could hear the hurt in his voice.
"Do you want me to get your mother?"
She was the last person I wanted to see. Right away I said, "No, please don't." The bed creaked as my father got up and closed the door. The only person I wanted was Susanna. She was the only one. And then I had a thought, clear as day. I would never be somebody's favorite again. I would never be a kid again. Not in the same way. That was all over now. She was really gone. I hoped Conrad listened to me. I hoped I never saw him again. If I ever had to look at him again, if he looked at me the way he did that day, it would break me. Chapter 6. July 3rd. When the phone rang early the next morning, my first thought was, the only kind of calls you get this early in the morning are the bad ones. I was right. Sort of. I think I was still in a dream state when I heard his voice. For one long second, I thought it was Conrad, and for that second, I could not catch my breath. Conrad calling me again? That was enough to make me forget how to breathe. But it wasn't Conrad. It was Jeremiah. They were brothers, after all. Their voices were alike. Alike, but not the same. He, Jeremiah, said, "Belly, it's Jeremiah." "Conrad's gone." "What do you mean, gone?" Suddenly I was wide awake and my heart was in my throat. Gone had come to mean something different, in a way that it hadn't used to. Something permanent. "He took off from summer school a couple of days ago and he hasn't come back. Do you know where he is?" "No." Conrad and I hadn't spoken since Susanna's funeral. "He missed 2 exams. He'd never do that." Jeremiah sounded desperate, panicky even. I'd never heard him sound that way. He was always at ease, always laughing, never serious. And he was right. Conrad would never do that. He'd never just leave without telling anybody. Not the old Conrad, anyway. Not the Conrad I had loved since I was 10 years old. Not him. I sat up, rubbed at my eyes. "Does your dad know?" "Yeah, he's freaking out. He can't deal with this kind of thing." This kind of thing would be Susanna's domain, not Mr. Fisher's. "What do you want to do, Jer?" I tried to make my voice sound the way my mother's would. Calm, reasonable, like I wasn't scared out of my mind, the thought of Conrad gone. It wasn't so much that I thought he was in trouble, it was that if he left, really left, he might never come back, and that scared me more than I could say. "I don't know." Jeremiah let out a big gust of air. "His phone has been off for days. Do you think you could help me find him?" Immediately I said, "Yes, of course I can." Everything made sense in that moment. This was my chance to make things right with Conrad. The way I saw it, this was what I had been waiting for, and I hadn't even known it. It was like the last 2 months I had been sleepwalking, and now, here I was, finally awake. I had a goal, a purpose. That last day, I'd said horrible things. Unforgivable things. Maybe, if I helped him in some small way, I'd be able to fix what was broken. Even so, as scared as I was at the thought of Conrad being gone, as eager as I was to redeem myself, the thought of being near him again terrified me. No one on this earth affected me the way Conrad Fisher did. As soon as Jeremiah and I got off the phone, I was everywhere at once, throwing underwear and t-shirts into my big overnight bag. How long would it take us to find him? Was he okay? I would have known if he wasn't okay, wouldn't I? I packed my toothbrush, a comb, contact solution. My mother was ironing clothes in the kitchen. She was staring off into nowhere, her forehead one big crease. "Mom," I asked. Startled, she looked at me. "What? What's up?" I'd already planned what I'd say next. "Taylor's having some kind of breakdown because she and Davis broke up again. I'm gonna stay over at her place tonight. Maybe tomorrow, too, depending on how she feels." I held my breath, waiting for her to speak. My mother has a bullshit detector like no one I've ever known. It's more than a mother's intuition. It's like a homing device. But no alerts went off, no bells or whistles. Her face was perfectly blank. "All right," she said, going back to her ironing. And then, "Try and be home tomorrow night," she said. "I'll make halibut." She spritzed starch on khaki pants. I was home free. I should have felt relieved, but I didn't. Not really. "I'll try," I said. For a moment, I thought about telling her the truth. Of all people, she'd understand. She'd want to help. She loved them both. It was my mother who took Conrad to the emergency room the time he broke his arm skateboarding because Susanna was shaking so hard she couldn't drive. My mother was steady. Solid. She always knew what to do. Or at least, she used to. Now, I wasn't so sure. When Susanna got sick again, my mother went on autopilot, doing what needed doing. Barely present. The other day I'd come downstairs to find her sweeping the front hallway and her eyes were red and I'd been afraid. She wasn't the crying kind. Seeing her like that, like an actual person and not just my mother, it almost made me not trust her. My mother set down her iron. She picked up her purse from the counter and pulled out her wallet. "Buy Taylor some Ben & Jerry's. On me," she said, handing me a 20. "Thanks, Mom," I said, taking the 20 and stuffing it into my pocket. It would come in handy for gas money later. "Have fun," she said. And she was gone again. Absent. Ironing the same pair of khaki pants she'd just gone over. When I was in my car, driving away, I finally let myself feel it. Relief. No silent, sad mother. Not today. I hated to leave her, and I hated to be near her because she made me remember what I wanted most to forget. Susanna was gone. And she wasn't coming back. And none of us would be the same ever again. Chapter 7. At Taylor's house, the front door was almost never locked. Her staircase, with its long banister and shiny wooden steps, was as familiar to me as my own. After I let myself into the house, I went straight up to her room. Taylor was lying on her stomach, flipping through gossip magazines. As soon as she saw me, she sat up and said, "Are you a masochist or what?" I threw my duffel bag on the floor and sat down next to her. I'd called her on the way over. I'd told her everything. I hadn't wanted to, but I'd done it. "Why are you going off looking for him?" she demanded. "He's not your boyfriend anymore." I sighed, like he ever really was. My point exactly. She thumbed through a magazine and handed it to me. "Check it out. I could see you in this bikini, the white bandeau one. It'll look hot with your tan." "Jeremiah's going to be here soon," I said, looking at the magazine and handing it back to her. I couldn't picture me in that bikini, but I could picture her in it. "You so should have picked Jeremy," she said. "Conrad is basically a crazy person." I'd told her and told her how it wasn't as easy as picking one or the other. Nothing ever was. It wasn't as though I'd even had a choice. Not really. "Conrad's not crazy, Taylor." She'd never forgiven Conrad for not liking her the summer I brought her to Cousins. The summer we were 14. Taylor was used to all the boys liking her. She was unaccustomed to being ignored. Which was exactly what Conrad had done. Not Jeremiah, though. As soon as she batted her big brown eyes at him, he was hers. Her Jeremy. That's what she'd called him. In that teasing kind of way, the kind that boys love. Jeremiah lapped it right up, too, until she ditched him for my brother, Stephen. Pursing her lips, Taylor said, "Fine, maybe that was a little harsh. Maybe he's not crazy, but like what? Are you always just going to be sitting around waiting for him? Whenever he wants? No, but he's in some kind of trouble. He needs his friends now more than ever, I said, picking at a loose strand on the carpet. No matter what happened between us, we'll always be friends. She rolled her eyes. Whatever. The only reason I'm even signing off on this is for you to get closure.
Closure?
Yes. I can see now that it's the only way. You need to see Conrad face to face and tell him you're over him and you're not going to play his games anymore. Then and only then can you move on from his lame ass. Taylor, I'm not innocent in all this either. I swallowed. The last time I saw him, I was awful. Whatever. The point is, you need to move on. On to greener pastures. She eyed me. Like Corey, who, by the way, I doubt you even have a chance with anymore after last night. Last night seemed like 1,000 years ago. I did my best to look contrite and said, Hey, thanks again for letting me leave my car here. If my mom calls, please, Belly, show a little respect. I'm the queen of lying to parents, unlike you. She sniffed. You're gonna be back in time for tomorrow night, right? We're all gonna go out on Davis's parents' boat, remember? You promised. That's not until 8 or 9. I'm sure I'll be back by then. Besides, I pointed out, I never promised you anything. Then promise now, she commanded. Promise you'll be here. I rolled my eyes. Why do you want me back here so bad? So you can sick Corey Wheeler on me again? You don't need me. You have Davis. I do so need you, even if you are a terrible best friend. Boyfriends aren't the same as best friends, and you know it. Pretty soon we'll be in college, you know? What if we go to different schools? What then? Taylor glared at me, her eyes accusing. Okay, okay. I promise. Taylor still had her heart set on us going to the same school, the way we'd always said we would. She held out her hand to me, and we hooked pinkies. Is that what you're wearing? Taylor asked me suddenly. Looking down at my gray camisole, I said, Well, yeah. She shook her head so fast her blonde hair swished all around. Is that what you're wearing to see Conrad for the first time? This isn't a date I'm going on, Taylor. When you see an ex, you have to look better than you've ever looked. It's like the first rule of breakups. You have to make him think, Damn, I missed out on that? It's the only way. I hadn't thought of that. I don't care what he thinks, I told her. She was already rifling through my overnight bag. All you have in here is underwear and a t-shirt and this old tank top. Ugh, I hate this tank top. It needs to be officially retired. Quit it, I said. Don't go through my stuff. Taylor leaped up, her face all glowy and excited. Oh, please let me pack for you, Belly. Please, it would make me so happy. No, I said as firmly as I could. With Taylor, you had to be firm. I'll probably be back tomorrow. I don't need anything else. Taylor ignored me and disappeared into her walk-in closet. My phone rang then, and it was Jeremiah. Before I answered it, I said, I'm serious, Tay. Don't worry, I've got it all covered. Just think of me as your fairy godmother, she said from inside the closet. I popped open my phone. Hey, I said, where are you?
I'm pretty close, about 1 hour away. Are you at Taylor's?
Yeah, I said. Do you need me to give you the directions again?
No, I've got it.
He paused, and for a second I thought he'd already hung up. Then he said,
Thanks for doing this.
Come on, I said. I thought about saying something else, like how he was one of my best friends, and how part of me was almost glad to have a reason to see him again. It just wouldn't be summer without Beck's boys. But I couldn't get the words to sound right in my head, and before I could figure them out, he hung up. When Taylor finally emerged from the closet, she was zipping up my bag. All set, she said, dimpling. Taylor, I tried to grab the bag from her. No, just wait until you get wherever you're going. You'll thank me, she said. I was very generous, even though you're totally deserting me. I ignored the last bit and said, Thanks, Tay. You're welcome, she said, checking out her hair in her bureau mirror. See how much you need me? Taylor faced me, her hands on her hips. How are you guys even planning on finding Conrad anyway? For all you know, he's under a bridge somewhere. I hadn't given that part, the actual details, much thought. I'm sure Jeremiah has some ideas, I said. Jeremiah showed up in an hour, just like he said he would. We watched from the living room window when his car pulled into Taylor's circular driveway. Oh my God, he looks so cute, Taylor said, running over to the dresser and putting on lip gloss. Why didn't you tell me how cute he got? The last time she'd seen Jeremiah, he'd been a head shorter and scrawny. It was no wonder she'd gone after Stephen instead. But he just looked like Jeremiah to me. I picked up my bag and headed outside, with Taylor right on my heels. When I opened the front door, Jeremiah was standing on the front steps. He was wearing his Red Sox cap, and his hair was shorter than the last time I'd seen him. It was strange to see him there, on Taylor's doorstep. Surreal.
I was just about to call you,
he said, taking off his hat. He was a boy unafraid of hat hair, of looking stupid. It was one of his most endearing qualities, one I admired because I pretty much lived in constant fear of embarrassing myself. I wanted to hug him, but for some reason, maybe because he didn't reach for me first, maybe because I felt shy all of a sudden, I held back. Instead, I said, "You got here really fast."
"I sped like crazy," he said, and then, "Hey, Taylor."
She got on her tiptoes and hugged him, and I regretted not hugging him, too. When she stepped away, Taylor surveyed him approvingly and said, "Jeremy, you look good." She smiled at him, waiting for him to tell her she looked good, too. When he didn't, she said, "That was your cue to tell me how good I look, duh." Jeremiah laughed.
"Same old Taylor. You know you look good. You don't need me to tell you."
The two of them smirked at each other. "We'd better get going," I said. He took my overnight bag off my shoulder, and we followed him to the car. While he made room for my bag in the trunk, Taylor grabbed me by the elbow and said, "Call me when you get wherever you're going, Cinderbelly." She used to call me that when we were little, when we were obsessed with Cinderella. She'd sing it right along with the mice. "Cinderbelly, Cinderbelly." I felt a sudden rush of affection for her. Nostalgia. A shared history counted for a lot. More than I'd realized. I'd miss her next year, when the two of us were at different colleges. "Thanks for letting me leave my car here, Tay." She nodded. Then she mouthed the word, "Closure."
"Bye, Taylor," Jeremiah said, getting into the car.
I got in, too. His car was a mess, like always. There were empty water bottles all over the floor and back seat. "Bye," I called out as we began to drive away. She stood there and waved and watched us. She called back, "Don't forget your promise, Belly!"
"What'd you promise?" Jeremiah asked me, looking in the rearview mirror.
I promised her I'd be back in time for her boyfriend's 4th of July party. It's going to be on a boat. Jeremiah nodded.
"You'll be back in time, don't worry. Hopefully I'll have you back by tonight."
"Oh," I said. "Okay." I guessed I wouldn't need that overnight bag after all. Then he said,
"Taylor looks exactly the same."
"Yeah, I guess she does." And then neither of us said anything. We were just silent. Chapter 8 Jeremiah.
I can pinpoint the exact moment everything changed. It was last summer. Con and I were sitting on the porch, and I was trying to talk to him about what a dick the new assistant football coach was. "Just stick it out," he said. Easy for him to say. He'd quit.
"You don't get it. This guy's crazy," I started to tell him, but he wasn't listening anymore.
Their car had just pulled into the driveway. Stephen got out first, then Laurel. She asked where my mom was and gave me a big hug. She hugged Conrad next, and I started to say, "Hey, where's the belly button?" And there she was. Conrad saw her first. He was looking over Laurel's shoulder. At her. She walked toward us, Her hair was swinging around all over the place, and her legs looked miles long. She was wearing cutoffs and dirty sneakers. Her bra strap was sticking out of her tank top. I swear I never noticed her bra strap before. She had a funny look on her face, a look I didn't recognize, like shy and nervous, but proud at the same time. I watched Conrad hug her, waiting my turn. I wanted to ask her what she'd been thinking about, why she had that look on her face. I didn't do it, though. I stepped around Conrad and grabbed her up and said something stupid. It made her laugh, and then she was just Billy again. And that was a relief, because I didn't want her to be anything but just Billy. I'd known her my whole life. I'd never thought of her as a girl. She was one of us. She was my friend. Seeing her in a different way, even just for a second, it shook me up. My dad used to say that with everything in life, there's the game-changing moment. The one moment everything else hinges upon, but you hardly ever know it at the time. The three-pointer early on in the second quarter that changes up the whole tempo of the game wakes people up, brings them back to life. It all goes back to that one moment. I might have forgotten about it. That moment when their car drove up and this girl walked out. A girl I barely recognized. It could have just been one of those things, you know, where a person catches your eye, like a whiff of perfume when you walk down the street. You keep walking. You forget. I might have forgotten. Things might have gone back to the way they were before. But then came the game-changing moment. It was nighttime, maybe a week into the summer. Belly and I were hanging out by the pool, and she was cracking up over something I said, I don't remember what. I loved that I could make her laugh. Even though she laughed a lot and it wasn't some kind of feat, it felt great. She said, "Jer, you're like the funniest person I know." It was one of the best compliments of my life. But that wasn't the game-changing moment. That happened next. I was really on a roll, doing an impersonation of Conrad when he wakes up in the mornings, a whole Frankenstein sort of thing. Then Conrad came out and sat next to her on the deck chair. He pulled on her ponytail and said, "What's so funny?" Belly looked up at him, and she was actually blushing. Her face was all flushed, and her eyes were shining. "I don't remember," she said. My gut just twisted. I felt like somebody had drop-kicked me in the stomach. I was jealous, crazy jealous, of Conrad. And when she got up a little while later to get a soda, I watched him watch her walk away, and I felt sick inside. That was when I knew things would never be the same. I wanted to tell Conrad that he had no right, that he'd ignored her all these years, that he couldn't just decide to take her just because he felt like it. She was all of ours. My mom adored her. She called Belly her secret daughter. She looked forward to seeing her all year. Stephen, even though he gave her a hard time, he was really protective of her. Everyone took care of Belly. She just didn't know it. She was too busy looking at Conrad. For as long as any of us could remember, she had loved Conrad. All I knew was, I wanted her to look at me like that. After that day, I was done for. I liked her, as more than a friend. I maybe even loved her. There have been other girls, but they weren't her. I didn't want to call Belly for help. I was pissed at her. It wasn't just that she'd picked Conrad. That was old news. She was always going to pick Conrad. But we were friends, too. How many times had she called me since my mom died? Twice? A few texts and emails? But sitting in the car next to her, smelling her Belly Conklin smell, ivory soap and coconuts and sugar, the way her nose wrinkled up as she thought, her nervous smile and chewed-up fingernails, the way she said my name. When she leaned forward to mess with the AC vents, her hair brushed against my leg and it was really soft. It made me remember all over again. It made it hard to stay pissed and keep her at arm's length the way I'd planned. It was pretty damn near impossible. When I was near her, I just wanted to grab her and hold her and kiss the shit out of her. Maybe then she'd finally forget about my asshole of a brother. Chapter 9. So where are we going? I asked Jeremiah. I tried to catch his eye, to make him look at me just for a second. It seemed like he hadn't looked me in the eye once since he showed up, and it made me nervous. I needed to know that things were okay between us.
I don't know, he said. I haven't talked to Con in a while. I have no clue where he'd go. I was hoping you'd have some ideas.
The thing was, I didn't. Not really. Not at all, actually. I cleared my throat. Conrad and I haven't spoken since May. Jeremiah looked at me sideways, but he didn't say anything. I wondered what Conrad had told him. Probably not much. I kept talking because he wasn't. Have you called his roommate?
I don't have his number. I don't even know his name.
His name is Eric, I said quickly. I was glad to know that at least. It's his same roommate from the school year. They stayed in the same room for summer school, so, I guess that's where we'll go then. To Brown. We'll talk to Eric, to people on his hall. You never know, he could just be hanging out on campus.
Sounds like a plan.
As he checked his rearview mirror and changed lanes, he asked me,
So, you've been to visit Con at school?
No, I said, looking out the window. It was a pretty embarrassing thing to admit. Have you?
My dad and I helped him move into the dorms.
Almost reluctantly, he added,
Thanks for coming.
Sure, I said.
So Laurel's cool with it?
Oh, yeah, totally, I lied. I'm glad I could come. I used to look forward to seeing Conrad all year. I used to wish for summer the way kids wished for Christmas. It was all I thought about. Even now, even after everything, he was still all I thought about. Later, I turned on the radio to fill the silence between Jeremiah and me. Once I thought I heard him start to say something, and I said, Did you just say something? He said, Nope. For a while, we just drove. Jeremiah and me were two people who never ran out of things to say to each other, but there we were, not saying a word. Finally, he said,
I saw Nona last week. I stopped by the retirement home she's been working at.
Nona was Susanna's hospice nurse. I'd met her a few times. She was funny and strong. Nona was slight, maybe 5'2", with spindly arms and legs. But I'd seen her haul up Susanna like she weighed nothing. Which, toward the end, I guess she very nearly did. Chapter 10. When Susanna got really sick again, no one told me right away. Not Conrad, or my mother, or Susanna herself. It all happened so fast. I tried getting out of going to see Susanna that last time. I told my mother I had a trig exam that counted for a quarter of my grade. I would have said anything to get out of going. I'm going to have to study all weekend. I can't come. Maybe next weekend, I said over the phone. I tried to make my voice casual and not desperate. Okay? Immediately she said, No, not okay. You're coming up this weekend. Susanna wants to see you. But no buts. Her voice was razor sharp. I already bought your train ticket. See you tomorrow. On the train ride up, I worked hard to come up with things I could say when I saw Susanna. I would tell her about how hard trig was, how Taylor was in love, how I was thinking of running for class secretary, which was a lie. I wasn't going to run for class secretary, but I knew that Susanna would like the sound of it. I would tell her all of those things, and I would not ask about Conrad. My mother picked me up at the train station. When I got into the car, she said, I'm glad you came. She went on to say, "Don't worry, Conrad's not here." I didn't answer her. I just stared out the window. I was unjustifiably mad at her for making me come. Not that she cared. She kept right on talking. "I'm going to go ahead and warn you that she doesn't look good. She's tired. She's very tired, but she's excited to see you." As soon as she said the words, "She doesn't look good," I closed my eyes. I hated myself for being afraid to see her, for not visiting more often. But I wasn't like my mother, as strong and durable as steel. Seeing Susanna like that, it was too hard. It felt like pieces of her, of who she used to be, crumpled away every time. Seeing her like that made it real. When we pulled into the driveway, Nona was outside smoking a cigarette. I'd met Nona a couple of weeks before, when Susanna first moved back home. Nona had a very intimidating handshake. When we stepped out of the car, she was Purelling her hands and spraying Febreze on her uniform like she was a teenager smoking in secret, even though Susanna didn't mind it. She loved cigarettes once in a while, but couldn't smoke them anymore. Just pot, just once in a while. "Morning," Nona called out, waving to us. "Morning," we called back. She was sitting on the front porch. "Nice to see you," she said to me. To my mother, she said, "Susanna's all dressed and waiting for you two downstairs." My mother sat down next to Nona. "Belly, you go on in first. I'm going to chat with Nona." And by chat, I knew she meant she too was going to have a cigarette. She and Nona had gotten to be pretty friendly. Nona was pragmatic and also intensely spiritual. She invited my mother to go to church with her once, and even though my mother was not religious in the least, she went. At first, I thought it was just to humor Nona. But then, when she started going to church alone back home, I realized it was more than that. She was looking for some kind of peace. I said, "By myself?" And I regretted it right away. I didn't want either of them to judge me for being afraid. I was already judging myself. "She's waiting for you," my mother said. Which she was. She was sitting in the living room, and she was wearing actual clothes and not her pajamas. She had on makeup. Her peachy blush was bright and garish against her chalky skin. She'd made an effort for me, so as not to scare me, so I pretended not to be scared. "My favorite girl," she said, opening her arms for me. I hugged her, carefully as I could. I told her she looked so much better. I lied. She said Jeremiah wouldn't be home until later that night, that us girls had the house all to ourselves for the afternoon. My mother came inside then, but left the two of us alone. She came into the living room to say a quick hello, and then she fixed lunch while we caught up. As soon as my mother left the room, Susanna said, "If you're worried about running into Conrad, don't be, sweetie. He won't be here this weekend." I swallowed. "Did he tell you?" She half laughed. "That boy doesn't tell me anything." "Your mother mentioned that prom didn't go as well as we'd hoped. I'm sorry, honey." "He broke up with me," I told her. It was more complicated than that, but when you boiled it all down, that was what had happened. It had happened because he'd wanted it to. It had always been his call, his decision whether or not we were together. Susanna took my hand and held it. "Don't hate Conrad," she said. "I don't," I lied. "I hated him more than anything. I loved him more than anything. Because he was everything. And I hated that too. Conrad's having a hard time with all of this." "It's a lot." She paused and pushed my hair out of my face, her hand lingering on my forehead as if I had a fever.
as if I was the one who was sick, in need of comfort. Don't let him push you away. He needs you. He loves you, you know. I shook my head. No, he doesn't. In my head, I added, the only person he loves is himself. And you. She acted like she hadn't heard me. Do you love him? When I didn't answer, she nodded as if I had. Will you do something for me? Slowly, I nodded. Look after him for me. Will you do that? You won't need me to look after him, Susanna. You'll be here to do it, I said. And I tried not to sound desperate, but it didn't matter. Susanna smiled and said, You're my girl, Billy. After lunch, Susanna took a nap. She didn't wake up until late afternoon, and when she did, she was irritable and disoriented. She snapped at my mother once, which terrified me. Susanna never snapped at anybody. Nona tried to put her to bed, and at first, Susanna refused, but then she gave in. On the way to her bedroom, she gave me a little half-hearted wink. Jeremiah came home around dinner time. I was relieved to see him. He made everything lighter, easier. Just seeing his face took away some of the strain of being there. He walked into the kitchen and said, What's that burning smell? Oh, Laurel's cooking. Hey, Lore. My mother swatted at him with a kitchen towel. He dodged her and started looking under pan covers playfully. Hey, Jer, I said to him. I was sitting on a stool, shelling beans. He looked over at me and said, Oh, hey, how are you? Then he walked over to me and gave me a quick half-hug. I tried to search his eyes for some clue as to how he was doing, but he didn't let me. He kept moving around, joking with Nona and my mother. In some ways, he was the same Jeremiah, but in other ways, I could see how this had changed him, had aged him. Everything took more effort, his jokes, his smiles. Nothing was easy anymore. Chapter 11. It felt like forever before Jeremiah spoke again. I was pretending to be asleep, and he was drumming his fingers along the steering wheel. Suddenly, he said, This was my prom's theme song. Right away, I opened my eyes and asked, How many proms have you been to?
Total? 5.
What? Yeah, right. I don't believe you, I said, even though I did. Of course Jeremiah had been to 5 proms. He was exactly that guy, the one everyone wanted to go with. He would know how to make a girl feel like the prom queen, even if she was nobody. Jeremiah started ticking off with his fingers. Junior year, I went to 2, mine and Flora Martinez's at Sacred Heart. This year, I went to my prom and 2 others. Sophia Franklin at... Okay, I get it. You're in demand. I leaned forward and fiddled with the air conditioner control. I had to buy a tux because it was cheaper than renting over and over again, he said. Jeremiah looked straight ahead. And then he said the last thing I was expecting him to say. You looked good at yours. I liked your dress. I stared at him. Did Conrad show him our pictures? Had he told him anything? How do you know?
My mom got one of the pictures framed.
I hadn't expected him to bring up Susanna. I'd thought prom would be a safe subject. I said, I heard you were prom king at your prom.
Yeah.
I bet that was fun.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
I should have brought Jeremiah instead. If it had been Jeremiah, things would have been different. He would have said all the right things. It would have been Jeremiah in the center of the dance floor, doing the typewriter and the lawnmower and the toaster and all the other stupid dances he used to practice when we watched MTV. He would have remembered that daisies were my favorite flower, and he would have made friends with Taylor's boyfriend, Davis, and all the other girls would have been looking at him, wishing he was their date. Chapter 12. From the start, I knew it wasn't going to be easy to get Conrad to go. He wasn't a prom kind of person. But the thing was, I didn't care. I just really wanted him to go with me, to be my date. It had been 7 months since the first time we'd kissed, 2 months since the last time I'd seen him, 1 week since the last time he'd called. Being a person's prom date is definable. It's a real thing. And I had this fantasy of prom in my head, what it would be like, how he would look at me, how when we slow danced, he'd rest his hand on the small of my back, how we'd eat cheese fries at the diner after and watch the sunrise from the roof of his car. I had it all planned out, how it would go. When I called him that night, he sounded busy, but I forged ahead anyway. I asked him, "What are you doing the first weekend of April?" My voice trembled when I said the word April. I was so nervous he'd say no. In fact, deep down, I kind of expected him to. Warily, he asked,
"Why?"
"It's my prom." He sighed,
"Billy, I hate dances."
"I know that, but it's my prom, and I really want to go, and I want you to come with me." Why did he have to make everything so hard?
"I'm in college now," he reminded me. "I didn't even want to go to my own prom."
Lightly, I said, "Well, see, that's all the more reason for you to come to mine."
"Can't you just go with your friends?"
I was silent.
"I'm sorry. I just really don't feel like going. Finals are coming up, and it'll be hard for me to drive all the way down for one night."
So he couldn't do this one thing for me to make me happy. He didn't feel like it. "Fine. That's okay," I told him. "There's plenty of other guys I can go with. No problem." I could hear his mind working on the other end.
"Never mind. I'll take you,"
he said at last. "You know what? Don't even worry about it," I said. "Corey Wheeler already asked me. I can tell him I changed my mind."
"Who the hell is Corky Wheeler?"
I smiled. I had him now. Or at least I thought I did. I said, "Corey Wheeler. He plays soccer with Steven. He's a good dancer. He's taller than you." But then Conrad said,
"I guess you'll be able to wear heels then."
"I guess I will." I hung up. Was it so much to ask him to be my prom date for one freaking night? And I had lied about Corey Wheeler. He hadn't asked me. But I knew he would if I let him think I wanted him to. In bed, under my quilt, I cried a little. I had this perfect prom night in my mind, Conrad in a suit and me in the violet dress my mother bought me 2 summers ago, the one I had begged for. He had never seen me dressed up before, or wearing heels, for that matter. I really, really wanted him to. Later, he called, and I let it go straight to voicemail. On the message, he said,
"Hey, sorry about before. Don't go with Corey Wheeler, or any other guy. I'll come. You can still wear your heels."
I must have played that message 30 times at least. Even so, I never really listened to what he was actually saying. He didn't want me to go with some other guy, but he didn't want to go with me either. I wore the violet dress. My mother was pleased. I could tell. I also wore the pearl necklace Susanna gave me for my 16th birthday, and that pleased her too. Taylor and the other girls were all getting their hair done at a fancy salon. I decided to do mine myself. I curled my hair in loose waves, and my mother helped with the back. I think the last time she did my hair was in the second grade, when I wore my hair in braids every day. She was good with a curling iron, but then she was good with most things. As soon as I heard his car pull into the driveway, I ran to the window. He looked beautiful in his suit. It was black. I'd never seen it before. I launched myself down the stairs and flung the front door open before he could ring the bell. I couldn't stop smiling, and I was about to throw my arms around him when he said,
"You look nice."
"Thanks," I said. And my arms fell back at my sides. "So do you."
We must have taken 100 pictures at the house. Susanna said she wanted photographic proof of Conrad in a suit and me in that dress. My mother kept her on the phone with us. She gave it to Conrad first, and whatever she said to him, he said, "I promise." I wondered what he was promising. I also wondered if one day Taylor and I would be like that, on the phone while our kids got ready for the prom. My mother and Susanna's friendship had spanned decades and children and husbands. I wondered if Taylor's and my friendship was made of the same stuff as theirs. Durable, impenetrable stuff. Somehow, I doubted it. What they had, it was once in a lifetime. To me, Susanna said, "Did you do your hair the way we talked about?" "Yes." "Did Conrad tell you how pretty you look?" "Yes," I said, even though he hadn't, not exactly. "Tonight will be perfect," she promised me. My mother positioned us on the front steps, on the staircase, standing next to the fireplace. Stephen was there with his date, Claire Cho. They laughed the whole time, and when they took their pictures, Stephen stood behind her with his arms around her waist, and she leaned back into him. It was so easy. In our pictures, Conrad stood stiffly beside me with one arm around my shoulders. "Is everything okay?" I whispered.
"Yeah,"
he said. He smiled at me, but I didn't believe it. Something had changed. I just didn't know what. I gave him an orchid boutonniere. He forgot to bring my corsage. He'd left it in his little refrigerator back at school, he said. I wasn't sad or mad. I was embarrassed. All this time, I'd made such a big deal about me and Conrad, how we were some kind of couple. But I'd had to beg him to go to the prom with me, and he hadn't even remembered to bring me flowers. I could tell he felt awful when he realized. Right at the moment Stephen went to the fridge and came back with a wrist corsage, tiny pink roses, to match Claire's dress. He gave her a big bouquet, too. Claire pulled one of the roses out of her bouquet and handed it to me. "Here," she said, "we'll make you a corsage." I smiled at her to show I was grateful. "That's okay. I don't want to poke a hole in my dress," I told her. What a crock. She didn't believe me, but she pretended to. She said, "How about we put it in your hair, then? I think it would look really pretty in your hair." "Sure," I said. Claire Cho was nice. I hoped she and Stephen never broke up. I hoped they stayed together forever. After the thing with the corsage, Conrad tightened up even more. On the way to the car, he grabbed my wrist and said, in a quiet voice,
"I'm sorry I forgot your corsage. I should have remembered."
I swallowed hard and smiled without really opening my mouth. "What kind was it?"
"A white orchid,"
he said.
"My mom picked it out."
"Well, for my senior prom, you'll just have to get me 2 corsages to make up for it," I said. "I'll wear one on each wrist." I watched him as I said it. "We'd still be together in a year, wouldn't we?" That was what I was asking. His face didn't change. He took my arm and said,
"Whatever you want, Billy."
In the car, Stephen looked at us in the rearview mirror. "Dude, I can't believe I'm going on a double date with you and my little sister." He shook his head and laughed. Conrad didn't say anything. I could already feel the night slipping away from me. The prom was a joint senior and junior prom. That was the way our school did it. In a way, it was nice because you got to go to prom twice. The seniors got to vote on the theme, and this year the theme was Old Hollywood. It was at the Water Club, and there was a red carpet and paparazzi. The prom committee had ordered one of those kits, those prom packages. It cost a ton of money. They'd fundraised all spring. There were all of these old movie posters on the walls and a big blinking Hollywood sign. The dance floor was supposed to look like a movie set with lights and a fake camera on a tripod. There was even a director's chair off to the side. We sat at a table with Taylor and Davis. With her 4.5-inch stilettos, they were the same height. Conrad hugged Taylor hello, but he didn't make much of an effort to talk to her or to Davis. He was uncomfortable in his suit, just sitting there. When Davis opened up his jacket and showed off his silver flask to Conrad, I cringed. Maybe Conrad was too old for all this. Then I saw Corey Wheeler out on the dance floor, in the center of a circle of people, including my brother and Claire. He was breakdancing. I leaned in close to Conrad and whispered, "That's Corey."
"Who's Corey?"
he said. I couldn't believe he didn't remember. I just couldn't believe it. I stared at him for a second, searching his face, and then I moved away from him. "Nobody," I said. After we'd been sitting there a few minutes, Taylor grabbed my hand and announced we were going to the bathroom. I was actually relieved. In the bathroom, she reapplied her lip gloss and whispered to me, "Davis and I are going to his brother's dorm room after the after prom." "For what?" I said, rummaging around my little purse for my own lip gloss. She handed me hers. "For, you know, to be alone?" Taylor widened her eyes for emphasis. "Really?" "Wow," I said slowly. "I didn't know you liked him that much." "Well, you've been really busy with all your Conrad drama, which, by the way, he looks hot, but why is he being so lame? Did you guys have a fight?" "No." I couldn't look her in the eyes, so I just kept applying lip gloss. "Belly, don't take his shit. This is your prom night. I mean, he's your boyfriend, right?" She fluffed out her hair, posing in the mirror and pouting her lips. "At least make him dance with you." When we got back to the table, Conrad and Davis were talking about the NCAA tournament, and I relaxed a little. Davis was a UConn fan, and Conrad liked UNC. Mr. Fisher's best friend had been a walk-on for the team, and Conrad and Jeremiah were both huge fans. Conrad could talk about Carolina basketball forever. A slow song came on then, and Taylor took Davis by the hand, and they headed out to the dance floor. I watched them dance, her head on his shoulder, his hands on her hips. Pretty soon, Taylor wouldn't be a virgin anymore. She always said she'd be first.
"Are you thirsty?"
Conrad asked me. "No," I said. "Do you want to dance?" He hesitated.
"Do we have to?"
I tried to smile. "Come on, you're the one who supposedly taught me how to slow dance." Conrad stood up and offered me his hand.
"So let's dance."
I gave him my hand and followed him to the middle of the dance floor. We slow danced, and I was glad the music was loud so he couldn't hear my heart beating. "I'm glad you came," I said, looking up at him.
"What?"
he asked. "Louder," I said. "I said, I'm glad you came."
"Me too."
His voice sounded odd. I remember that. The way his voice caught. Even though he was standing right in front of me, his hands around my waist, mine around his neck, he had never felt so far away. After, we sat back down at our table. He said,
"Do you want to go somewhere?"
"Well, the after prom doesn't start till midnight," I said, fiddling with my pearl necklace. I wound it around my fingers. I couldn't look at him. Conrad said,
"No, I mean just you and me. Somewhere we can talk."
All of a sudden, I felt dizzy. If Conrad wanted to go somewhere where we could be alone, where we could talk, it meant he wanted to break up with me. I knew it. "Let's not go anywhere. Let's just stay here for a while," I said, and I tried hard not to sound desperate.
"All right,"
he said. So we sat there, watching everyone around us dance, their faces shiny, makeup running. I pulled the flower out of my hair and put it in my purse. When we had been quiet a while, I said, "Did your mom make you come?" It broke my heart to ask, but I had to know.
"No,"
he said, but he waited too late to answer. In the parking lot, it had started to drizzle. My hair that I had spent the whole afternoon curling, was already falling flat. We were walking to the car when Conrad said, "My head is killing me." I stopped walking. "Do you want me to go back inside and see if anybody has an aspirin?"
"No, that's okay. You know what? I might head back to school. I have that exam on Monday and everything. Would it be all right if I didn't go to the after prom? I could still drop you off."
He didn't meet my eyes when he spoke. "I thought you were spending the night." Conrad fumbled with his car keys and mumbled,
"I know, but I'm thinking now that I should get back."
His voice trailed off. "But I don't want you to leave," I said, and I hated the way I sounded like I was begging. He jammed his hands inside his pants pocket.
"I'm sorry,"
he said. We stood there in the parking lot, and I thought, if we get inside his car, it's all over. He'll drop me off, and then he'll drive back to school, and he'll never come back. And that'll be it. "What happened?" I asked him, and I could feel the panic rising up in my chest. "Did I do something wrong?" He looked away.
"No, it's not you. It has nothing to do with you."
I grabbed his arm, and he flinched. "Will you please just talk to me? Will you tell me what's going on?" Conrad didn't say anything. He was wishing he was already in his car, driving away. From me. I wanted to hit him. I said, "Okay, fine, then. If you won't say it, I will."
"If I won't say what?"
"That we're over. That whatever this is, it's over. I mean, it is, right?" I was crying, and my nose was running. It was all mixed up in the rain. I wiped my face with the back of my arm. He hesitated. I saw him hesitate, weigh his words.
"Belly,
don't," I said, backing away from him. "Just don't. Don't say anything to me."
"Just wait a minute," he said. "Don't leave it like this."
"You're the one leaving it like this," I said. I started to walk away, as fast as my feet could go in those stupid heels.
"Wait,"
he yelled. I didn't turn around. I walked faster. Then I heard him slam his fist on the hood of his car. I almost stopped. Maybe I would have if he'd followed me. But he didn't. He got in his car and he left. Just like he said he would. The next morning, Stephen came to my room and sat at my desk. He'd just gotten home. He was still wearing his tux. "I'm asleep," I told him, rolling over.
"No, you're not."
He paused.
"Conrad's not worth it, okay?"
I knew what it cost him to say that to me, and I loved him for it. Stephen was Conrad's number one fan. He always had been. When Stephen got up and left, I repeated it to myself. "He's not worth it." When I came downstairs the next day around lunchtime, my mother said, "Are you all right?" I sat down at the kitchen table and put my head down. The wood felt cool and smooth against my cheek. I looked up at her and said, "So I guess Stephen blabbed." "Carefully," she said.
"Not exactly. I did ask him why Conrad didn't stay the night like we planned."
"We broke up," I said. In a way, it was exciting to hear it said out loud, because if we were broken up, that meant that at one point, we had been together. We were real. My mother sat down across from me. She sighed. "I was afraid this was going to happen."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, it's more complicated than just you and Conrad. There are more people involved than just the two of you." I wanted to scream at her, to tell her how insensitive, how cruel she was. And couldn't she see my heart was literally breaking? But when I looked up at her face, I bit back the words and swallowed them down. She was right. There was more to worry about than just my stupid heart. There was Susanna to think of. She was going to be so disappointed. I hated to disappoint her. "Don't worry about Beck," my mother told me. her voice gentle. I'll tell her. You want me to fix you something to eat? I said yes. Later in my room, alone again, I told myself it was better this way. That he'd been wanting to end things all along, so it was better that I said it first. I didn't believe a word of it. If he'd called and asked for me back, if he'd showed up at the house with flowers or a stereo on his shoulders playing our song, did we even have a song? I didn't know, but if he'd made even the tiniest gesture, I'd have taken him back, gladly. But Conrad didn't call. When I found out Susanna was worse, that she wasn't going to get any better, I called. Once. He didn't pick up, and I didn't leave a message. If he had picked up, if he'd called me back, I don't know what I would have said. And that was it. We were over. Chapter 13. Jeremiah. When my mom found out Conrad was taking Belly to prom, she freaked out. She was insanely happy. You'd have thought they were getting married or something. I hadn't seen her happy like that in a long time. And part of me was glad that he could give her that. But mostly I was